Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Happy New Year! Yeah, come on! It's a new year. I want to start right off because there's some great things I feel God's given us to cover today. So I want to start in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says this, "Now the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you.' The Lord at this point instituted the Passover, a seven-day celebration of Israel's deliverance from slavery in Egypt." We all know that story. And it was to become Israel's new year. Matthew Henry, a theologian, writes this, "Note, it is good to begin the day and begin the year, and especially to begin our lives with God." Do you agree with that? Amen? Some people, though, we all have circumstances that we walk in years. Some are good and pleasant circumstances. Some are not so good, and we would rather not go through those circumstances. But some people want their circumstances to change without changing themselves. They say, I'm good with me. I just want what I'm going through to go away. So they want their circumstances to change, but they want to do it without changing themselves. And rarely do our circumstances not require some change of attitude, of thought process, or the physical nature from us. Let me say that again. Rarely do the circumstances that we go through, that we're experiencing even right now, do they not require some change of attitude, of thought process, or of the physical nature from us. But we don't go there. We think, and our focus is on what we're going through instead of saying, what am I supposed to take from this? What am I supposed to learn from this? Why am I supposed to walk through it? And how am I supposed to walk through it? People, James Allen, a British philosophical writer, said this, "People are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. Therefore, they remain bound." If we don't change with the times, and of course that's the only thing that's consistent is change, but why is it so much that humans resist it? We don't want to change. We're comfortable. When we get to a place we want to be, we don't want to leave it. Everything's good. But you see, God doesn't want us to remain there because we're ever changing. How many of us have reached full maturity in Christ? Okay, good. I'm glad you're on board with me, because we haven't. Therefore, we must continue to change to become more like Christ. And therefore, there are things and circumstances that we have to go through that need to change us, that we need to decide and agree with and get on board with, that we need to change no matter how difficult, no matter what else in our life we have to rearrange, no matter how uncomfortable it may be for us and the people we come in contact with, we must walk through it. So how have you decided to begin 2018, a new year, with resolutions, losing weight, get in better shape, eat better, get out of debt, volunteer more, there's a good one, get more organized, and here's one, maybe, tame your tongue. All are good, and all are worthy goals, but for the follower of Christ, they should flow out of putting Christ on first and what Christ wants for us. You lose weight to honor God and who dwells in us and have a healthy temple for Him to dwell in. You read more to nourish your mind. You tame your tongue more to be a valid witness. You get out of debt so you can be freed up to invest in the kingdom of God. You volunteer because you want to show people the love of Christ. Are these the reasons behind why you're going to do what you're going to do? Where does Christ fit in to those reasons? Or is it just something that you figure you got to do? Here's the deal, though. The new year will resemble the old one if you bring your old self, your old attitudes, your old habits into 2018. It won't look any different. It won't feel any different, and it won't be any different. And the goal is to be different. The goal is to change. You should not be the same person that you were in 2017, in 2018. If you're a follower of Christ and your goal is to mature in Christ, you have to look different. And not just for the moment, consistently different. Change does not come because the clock advances or the page of the calendar turns, but occurs with an evolution of your thoughts, of your beliefs, and your actions. The temperature of your outer life reflects your internal thermostat. What is it set to? What is your thermostat inside set to? Is it set to loving people more? Then what's outside of you, what is going on the outside, will reflect what's going on the inside. What's going on the inside will dictate what actions happen externally. So what's changing in here? What's changing in here? And maybe you don't know yet because you haven't postured yourself to receive that yet. Because you see, if it's what Christ wants for us, then it would follow suit that we would kneel and we would bow and we would be in front of Him and we would be in His Word saying, "What do you want from me this year, Lord?" Not, "Here's what I want to do, Lord, please bless it." But, "Lord, what do you want me to do so you will receive the blessing and I'll receive the growth and become more like my Savior." Today begins a 2-week exhortation, I'm calling it that, on vision, because I want you to be exhorted. I want you to be moved to join and to accept and to be on board with changing yourself. But your personal vision being connected to the vision of the fountain, that's what these two next weeks are about. And Aaron did a great job of setting the stage last week. And if you didn't get a chance to hear that message, I need you to go online and listen to the message that Aaron gave last week. And then come back and listen to this one if you want. But I think you're going to have some great insights. So let's start with something that we probably all know, but maybe throughout the year it eludes us. What is vision? Sight is a function of the eyes, while vision is a function of the heart. Sight is a function of the eyes, while vision is a function of the heart. Vision is seeing the future before it comes into being. Hebrews 11 says this, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Let me say it again. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So what is it that you hope for? And if it is, I should be able to tell what you hope for, because your conviction will be lived out here in front of people. And I'll know where your hope is placed. I'll know who your hope is in. Vision is the ability to see farther than your eyes can look. It is vision that makes the unseen visible and the unknown possible. No man or woman has ever saw glory without first seeing the vision. Whatever the mind can conceive, whatever the mind can believe, it can also achieve. Vision is conceived from within. So where are you getting your information? Where are you getting your wisdom? Is it a self? Is it from your buddy next door? Is it from the coworker? Is it from your neighbor? "Oh, I see that they're improving their life, so I'm going to do what they're going to do." That's not what God's called you to do. It comes from within, from spending time. If you're a follower of Christ, then follow Christ. Because He's got something for you that He may not have for me, because we're all on a different plane in the spiritual continuum. We're all in a different place. So don't look at somebody. It's okay to learn, but maybe God has something a little bit different for you. A different path, a different lesson, a different piece of wisdom, a different circumstance to walk through. Ephesians 1:18 says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." You've heard the worship song, I'm sure. "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you." Do you really want to see Him? Do you want to see him active in your life? Do you want to see him active in the people's lives around you? Do you want to see him change the people who yet don't know him because of what he's doing in you? What he's doing in his church at the Fountain? Vision is not the same as ambition, though. I don't want you to get them confused. While ambition is what a person's desire to become in life is, vision is what God created them to become. So sometimes we get that all confused. Our desires and what God's vision is may be different. And a little example is, I used to be a worship pastor for 14 years. And, you know, there were a number of people, we held auditions, there was a number of people that wanted to come up, and their desire was to sing on the platform and lead people. But through the audition, it was clear that they couldn't sing a note, and they couldn't stay on pitch. And so their desire, while Scripture says, make a joyful noise, we also have to be able to take the talent that God's given us and lead people. So sometimes the desires of our hearts don't match up necessarily what God has intended for us. So we have to get on board with what God has intended for us, Fountain, in 2018. Listen to these quotes. A man without vision is a man without a future. A man without a future will always turn to his past. Without a future, you turn to what you've always done. And when you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten. Regarding vision, a knife cuts because it has a narrow focus. This is kind of interesting. When God predetermined our destiny, he factored in our stupidity. Therefore, there's always enough time to finish. You see grace in there? In other words, if we don't focus and realize our vision, it's great that God gives us a second chance to see. He can reroute us back. If we get off track, God has a great way of taking those circumstances and turning us back to the direction and using those in our life. But here's my favorite one of these. The level of sacrifice that an environment requires will determine the size of people that will follow. The level of sacrifice that an environment requires will determine the size of the people that will follow. You have a choice to make. What will you be about? What will you be for? What environment will you make your sacrifice for? A famous proverb, you know it and I know it. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. You've heard the word perish a lot. But think about that word. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. Vision is the bridge between the present and the future. Vision gives pain a purpose. When we go through stuff, we know what the goal is and why we're doing it. And when we have that in our mind, it makes it better. It makes it easier. It makes it tolerable to withstand the pain. Because there will be pain when there's growth. Those without vision spend their lives taking the path of least resistance as they try to avoid discomfort. The level of sacrifice that a vision requires will determine the size of the people who will follow. Sacrifice separates the small from the great. What are we prepared and willing to sacrifice, Fountain, for God's vision for 2018? Andrew, where's Andrew? Is he back there? Andrew, this is the illustration I want you to listen to, brother. Consider the example of a young man who had just graduated from high school and joins the military. As soon as he steps off to boot camp bus, the sergeant yells, yelling at him. He has to march over to the barber shop and get his head shaved. Then he is up early in the morning to exercise with someone screaming at him and talking about his mother. Just a month before he was in high school, he would have never put up with any of this nonsense from his teachers or his classmates. But somehow, his whole mindset has changed. Why? He is enduring the cross, so to speak, because of the joy on the other side of it. He realizes that boot camp is preparing him for a greater destiny. His vision of the future is giving his present physical discomfort meaning and purpose. So many of us go through life not understanding the purposes of our trials. We just spend a lot of time complaining through them or wishing them away or praying God would give it to somebody else for a while to carry. We spend our days walking a crooked path, believing that every obstacle in the road is a problem and something to be avoided, when that's not true. The obstacles in our road sometimes have a meaning and a purpose for us. The second part of that proverb says, but happy is he who keeps the law. The law isn't just something God gave to Moses. It is also the restraint, the boundaries, and disciplines that we as individuals in a church develop around our life to direct us through the obstacles instead of around them. These obstacles become baptisms of fire that forge our character so we can attain and maintain a life of greatness, a life of abundance that the Lord wants to give us. So how is the vision in your life? Is it the way God sees it, or is it the way that you see it? Vision is what we see, but it is also the way in which we see it. Vision is the lens that interprets the events of our lives, the way we view people and our concept of God. If we have a scratch on our glasses, it may seem like everyone around us has problems, or they have scratches too. If I do, they must too. But the problem actually lies with us because our vision is impaired. Jesus said that our eyes are the windows of our heart. Paul prayed that the eyes of our heart would be opened, that it would be enlightened. In other words, we perceive with our eyes, but we see with our hearts. We perceive with our eyes. It's communicated here, but it's conceived right here. Our minds receive images from our eyes, but our heart interprets these images. If our hearts become bitter, if they become jealous, if they get hurt or in some way infected, the lens of our heart is distorted. So sometimes, I know I'm guilty of it, I see too much with these two things. And I don't see enough with what's in here. Because if I read God's word, and I do more than just believe in God, I believe God's word, and I've made a commitment for it to live in me and through me, then I'm going to see humanity. I'm going to see the world the way God wants me to. Because you see, he doesn't look at my physical being. He looks at my heart. So what's going on here? What am I seeing? How am I interpreting? How am I perceiving what is in front of me? Do I see that person who is unlovely, who stinks, who is homeless as an obstacle to go around? Or do I see it as an obstacle that God has put in my way so I will see, not with my heart, but with the heart that he's given me? And then respond. Because that, what my heart sees, is the vision at that moment that he's prepared for me in advance to do. So how do we get vision? We must separate ourselves from the crowd. In this case, from those philosophies and those words that the world would have us believe. What we have in common, so our vision should not be common. Don't look at what we've always done and keep doing the same thing. Caleb and Joshua, you know that story, refused to follow the mindset of the other spies. They chose to follow their own path. In Numbers 13, it says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said this, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go against the people, for they are too strong for us. It's different. Caleb and Joshua chose a different perspective because they were seeing with their heart, the heart that God had given, and not with the eyes, the physical eyes. Because if we see with physical eyes and we see a lot of the mountains and the obstacles in front of us, we'll never go forward. We'll stay where we are. Vision can be attained through prayer. Prayers give grace to vision. Watching gives alertness and direction to vision. When prayers give birth to vision, watchfulness keeps it from being forgotten. Last Sunday, New Year's Eve, we had a prayer service. At 6 p.m., 30 people showed up, and it was an amazing prayer service. 10 minutes before, and I don't mind telling you this, and I was joking, of course, I told Pastor Aaron, I said, 10 minutes before, there was nobody walking out. I said, okay, I'm going to put my resignation on the elder's desk next week. I was kidding, of course, but in my heart, I was thinking, wow, I know it's New Year's Eve. I know there's parties going on. I know there's things going on, but is this not important to anybody? This is our church. Why aren't we praying together? I'm so thankful for the 30 that showed up. It was an amazing time of prayer and offering to God. It really was. But you know what? And I don't care if I step on your toes. There should have been 100 there. There should have been 150 there. There should have been 200 there. If we're not praying together, we're not getting the same vision from God. You see, you look at me and say, well, we're going to get our vision for Pastor Mike because Pastor Mike's going to hear from God and he's going to tell us what we need to do. But when that happens, then you get all, well, I don't know that I want to do that. I don't know that that's what God's called me to. But you see, if we're praying all together, God's speaking to all of our hearts. I don't have to go and meet with people and try to take a pickaxe and pry into their heart so that they'll hear and that they'll see what God has told us to do. Your heart's already pliable. Your heart's already open because you've spent the same time that I've spent in front of God. And he's given us alignment. And he's given us passion. And he's given us focus. And he's given us a direction together. I'm just the messenger. You know, I'm not the head of this church. Jesus is the head of this church. And I get the privilege of being the messenger sometimes. A vision not written will soon be forgotten. You ever do that? For me, if I don't write it down, sometimes it's like it didn't get into my mind and happen. That's why I have a calendar sometimes. You know, you write things down that you want to remember, that you want to repeat, that you don't want to forget, right? What about a vision for your life? You ever try to write it down? It's like, God, what are you doing in me this year? What do you want me to do? And then I'm going to write it. I'm going to write it down on paper. I'm going to write it on my wall. We had an intern, Shay, Pierre Jean is her name. And she was an intern at Impact that last year. She's up at Johnson Bible College right now. But I loved walking into Shay's little office. She was a year-long intern because on her wall were plastered words that God had given her, scripture that God had laid on her heart. And it was, you know, people put pictures and people like clean walls, not Shay. She wanted everything that God was telling her on her wall so she would walk in there and not forget what God had told her. And it was just a great picture of her listening to God. So we must write our visions down. If God would write, who are we not to write? He wrote his word. He gave us a direction. He gave us reminders and encouragements. We will be writing and repeating what God imparts for us at the fountain regularly. Activities of our vision must become a daily routine. It should be what we live for as God's body at the fountain. Vision plus action equal realization. Vision plus action equal realization. Repeat that with me. Vision plus action equal realization. So we can have a vision and we can all be on the same page, but if we do nothing about it, then it will never come to fruition. It will never advance the kingdom as God has seen it through us at the fountain. When we have the vision, we must do everything in our power to rearrange our schedule, to change things up a little bit, so that we can be together to move forward the vision that God has given us. Some of you may be asking, well, you know, my life is good. I go along. I take things as they come. Why do I need a vision? You know, some of us live by the seat of our pants. That's not me. I don't. I'm a planner. You ask my wife. I'm planning all out. I look out way ahead, and but some of us, you know, we just like live life that way. God does not speak to you about where you are. He speaks to you about where you are going. Because where you are going is far more important than where you are. You see, this is the old right here where I'm standing. He wants me 2 minutes from now. I need to know where I'm going, where God wants me to go. Because we're moving forward. I want to be moving forward. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. He planned it ahead of time. He knew where he was going. He knew what he wanted him to do. Romans 8:28, you know it and I know it. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Do you love God? Do you love God? There's not many of you who love God. Do you love God? Then he's called you to a purpose according to the plan, his kingdom plan, and we all fit in it. It may be little different things that we have to do, vision in our lives, but you know what? We're part of the same puzzle. Part of the same puzzle. I got a puzzle for Christmas. I love puzzles. It was 1,000 pieces. I started doing it. I did it in a day and a half. I loved it, but I knew, my sons, Jesse's not home because he's in Knoxville now, but Garrett's home. And I know they do it to me every year. I'll get to the end of the puzzle and there's a piece missing. And it happens every year. I'm going, oh, man, there's a piece missing. I got choked up there. And I look at Garrett. There's a piece right in the middle of my 1,000-piece puzzle that's missing. And I said, it's Garrett. I just know it is. I just got to get used to it because Jesse's not home. Charla wouldn't do that to me. I don't know. Maybe she would. But Garrett did it every year. So I go to Garrett. I said, hey, buddy. There's the piece. Whenever you're ready, just put it in there because it's not moving from the table until it's complete. He said he didn't know where it was. He claims that he doesn't know where it was, but I don't believe him. I know it's there, so one day I'm going to walk in there, maybe a week from now, and it's going to be complete. I know it. I just know it. He claims that he doesn't know where it is, but that's my son. But we... The fountain, we are part of a puzzle, a bigger picture. We got to do our part. We got to fill the spot that God has created for us. And we all have to be a part of it, not just some of us. You may not understand. But if God has called you here, he hasn't called you away from here. Are you going to be obedient? And if you walk in that obedience, I promise, favor will come into your life. Just from walking in obedience. You don't have to understand what all of God's plan is to walk in it. Abraham did, and Aaron just told us that last week. You don't have to understand every part of his plan. He says, make the plan, but I will determine your steps. Will you walk in that? Will you walk in that this year, church? Fountain, our vision is about what's ahead, not the present. Now I want to tell you about our vision. If you'll give me a few minutes here, I know it's 12:07, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's 12. Maybe I don't see that 07. I want to tell you about our vision, but first I want to tell you what it's not. I will tell you what 2018 will not be about. It will not be about the merging of two churches. We've been doing it for a year. I got the T-shirt, and it's too small now. I'm throwing it away. Because we are the fountain. This year our vision will be about what God's purpose for the fountain and all those who will commit and sacrifice to this environment for his purpose. Remember that quote from earlier? It said, the level of sacrifice that an environment requires will determine the size of people that will follow. Where are you going to place your heart, your commitment, your action? Where are you going to put your resolve? So, the fountain vision, what God puts in our hearts to see to reality. We want to see with the heart. Our vision for 2018 will be centered around reaching, supporting, and building families for God. Families come in all shapes, in all sizes, in all conditions. And I'm not talking about just the families here, because there are many more families, people that we don't know yet, that God is going to have walk through that door. But, you know, some people come happenstance. They see the sign, they go to the website, or they've heard about it. But most families will come because you have gotten on board with the vision, and you have gone ahead, and you have moved forward and done, moved out of your comfort zone and done what God has told you to do, and reaching out to those families. You know families who are full of dysfunction. You're one of them. I'm one of them. There's no family that doesn't have some kind of dysfunction and some kind of condition, but they're waiting for somebody to reach out to them. And we do whatever we are able to do to meet those families where they are and help them see God's purpose for them so that they can move forward too. But the vision only gets there through the mission. The mission of the church is our vehicle for accomplishing the vision. Now, I'm going to take a chance here, and I'm going to embarrass some people. Who knows what the mission of the church is? That's what I thought. You don't read your bulletin? You don't read the website? It's right on the front page of the website. Well, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to show some grace. Connect with God, grow in Christ, engage the world in His name. Engage the world in His name. Our mission is key, church, to fulfilling the vision God has given us. And we have to be willing to do what our good shepherd did. And I'm going to share with you, it's recorded in Matthew 18, and it's recorded in Luke 15. In Matthew 18, it refers to the saved, keeping the saved from stumbling away. And in Luke 15, it refers to the redemption of those who are lost. We have to be willing, and this is why you heard that song that Brittany sang, Reckless Love. That song has wrecked my heart over the last 2 months. I requested it again, so if you're tired of the song, it's my fault. But I needed it today, because it's about leaving. Our mission is to leave the 99, to go after the one, to get that family and help them find Jesus. I want to get this right, because I wrote this down. We have to be willing to leave the 99 to go rescue the one. There are lost people and families needing rescued, and there are people and families who have gone astray or gotten hurt by the church at some point, and they have left and say, I give it up. They're all the same. They're not all the same. And we have to share that with them. They gave up on God and gave into the world. We must be willing to leave our homes. Listen. Leave our homes, our comfort zones, our schedules, this building, and go where there is a need to rescue the lost one, the confused one, the afraid one, the one stuck in a life they hadn't planned on. Whoever that is and whatever that looks like for us is what we ought to be willing to sacrifice for. That's the vehicle in which we will accomplish the vision that God has given us. We will engage the world in His name, but we can't do it sitting in these comfortable blue seats. We can't do it in our little huddles. Those are great for discipleship and for growing and for encouragement, and Lord knows that we need it. That's why He gave it to us. But He never meant for us to stay there, because the world won't know it unless we go and show it. We have to be willing to go and get out of our comfort zones. Will you commit to do that this year? Look at your life. Get your family together. Bring them all in. Get on the same page. I want to read. We're going to continue this next week. Next week's part two. But next week will be about vision and active patience. And I want to explain that to you next week. But We're going to segue into communion, but I want to read these words of the chorus and the bridge of the song that Brittany sang. And they wreck me every time. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, and leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I certainly don't deserve it. And still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And then the bridge goes, there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Jesus did that for us. The good shepherd left the 99. We claim that our identity is in Christ. Will we do the same? Is there a wall, or is there a shadow you won't go light up for somebody and be a light in their life? Is there a mountain you won't climb up because you know somebody needs rescuing? Is there a wall you won't kick down so you can get to that person? They may be stuck in an addictive nature and they're just not listening. Will you break down that wall to get to them? Will you dispel the lies that's tearing people down, that the devil wants them to believe? Will you bring truth into their life? Will you pray for them and walk beside them? Even if they don't understand, will you not abandon them? Because they need to see Jesus, and you may be the only Jesus that they see because you stuck it out, because you remained, because you didn't give up on them. That's what leaving the 99 is about. It's not disbanding this church. It's about building God's kingdom through this church. I'm going to pray. And then, you know, for those who are in Christ, we remember the sacrifice that he gave. Ultimately, that's what he died for. For you and me, and for those who don't know him yet, who are outside those doors. Father, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. God, thank you for your plan. You had a vision, and Jesus was part of that. And he lived that out in front of us, and the words are there for us to read, to know, to make part of us, to live through us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. We couldn't earn it. We don't deserve it. And still you gave yourself away. We thank you for that. So we pause right now to remember and just give you thanksgiving and praise you for being willing to die for us. We pray all this for the glory of God and remembrance of the one who died for us, our Lord and Savior Jesus. May it be so. Amen. Make your way to the tables as you desire.